The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons." And Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a dominion is divided against itself, that dominion cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against Satan and is divided, Satan cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. I'd first like to say thank you to Pastor Kathleen and the rest of the UniLu staff for making my sharing of God's word possible with you today. It's wonderful to be a part of this community, and I'm very grateful to be here. We are at the beginning of that season that I never really understood as a child, which extends all the way through the summer until we reach Advent, ordinary time. Growing up as a pastor's kid, I always thought of this season simply as the time after Pentecost. I legitimately did not know that it went by another name. So imagine my surprise when in my first year of seminary, I stumbled across the terminology of ordinary time when learning the church calendar. How ridiculous, I thought. Who calls it ordinary time? Well, apparently a lot of people, including the Catholic Church, the Anglican and Episcopal churches, the United Methodist Church, and even our own beloved Lutheran Church. Ordinary time as a moniker just seems so ordinary. I don't think it accurately encompasses the journey we travel with Jesus and the disciples, learning about his ministry, his healing, his conflicts, and his connection to the world. The celebration of Pentecost shows us the dramatic effect of the Holy Spirit's work in the world. This season is not one to merely proclaim as ordinary, but it continues to highlight the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit through the life and ministry of Jesus. One of the things today's gospel lesson teaches us about is the importance of relationship in God's kingdom. We learn about family, conflict, and the important role the Holy Spirit plays in joining us together and transforming us to form strong bonds rooted in God's power. But to be fair, this story is a little all over the place. Jesus is trying to eat, people say he's gone out of his mind, the Pharisees accuse him of being in league with demons, Jesus rebukes anybody who rejects the Holy Spirit, and he also emphasizes his relationship with his chosen family over his family of origin. That's a lot of ground to cover in a story that is otherwise a simple and ordinary homecoming. In any normal circumstance, a family would be excited to see their son or brother return after having departed on a journey. However, Jesus' reputation precedes him. While on his journey, he's proclaimed new teachings about the good news of the kingdom of God, casted out demons, healed people, invited disciples to follow him, hung out and eaten with the marginalized, broken Sabbath laws, and gained fame among other Galileans who do not know fully who he is, but who want to do God's will. People in Galilee and the surrounding area are sharply divided on what Jesus' words and actions mean in light of established customs and Jewish law. His own family does not understand what he is doing. Remember, the story of Jesus' life and ministry in Mark does not begin with his birth, but rather at his rebirth when he is baptized by John. Jesus' supernatural actions and challenge to powers that be is not a known entity to his family before he heads out to do his ministry. No angelic announcement foretold who Jesus was and what he was meant to do. Instead, they think he's gone crazy. Not conforming with societal and religious norms as they have come to understand them. I'm certain most of us can relate to that experience of young adulthood when you or your child left home for college or a job and came back home for the first time. I encounter this frequently as a university chaplain. That first Thanksgiving or winter break at home can be a challenge for many students. They have changed since they went to school, gaining more freedom, learning who they are and what they want to become in a new environment, encountering new people who have different backgrounds and experiences that can shift their attitudes and sense of self. Parents may be surprised at this person who arrives home. Students may have done something to have their parents even question whether they have gone out of their mind. The instinct to protect is a strong one, as is the longing for the person who once was, but now who has started to self-differentiate from their family. However, most of the time we adjust. We manage to keep our families together and accept that people grow and change as they get older, but not without some growing pains. These students may have even started to form their own families outside of their families of origin. Those who support them through difficult times celebrate in joyful times and overall just get them. When Jesus's family calls for him to come outside after he has rebuked the Pharisees for their illogical accusation that he is controlled by demonic forces because he is casting out demons from others, he claims that he is inside sharing a meal with the people who are his mother and his brothers. Is this a complete rejection of his biological family? Maybe. It is a definitive claim on the importance of the kind of relationship that Jesus calls us to cultivate in our lives. Jesus claims those who are doing the will of God as his siblings. In that moment, it excludes his family because they do not understand who he is and what he's doing. Jesus wields his power in this narrative. It is not the kind of power that is most recognizable in Jesus' time or even in our own time. It's not economic or political or even physical, but it is instead rooted in love, hope, justice, humility, servanthood, and restoration. In claiming outsiders from the rest of society to be literal insiders inside with him eating a meal as members of God's family, Jesus upends the expectations of what power should look like. In performing exorcisms and healing people, he restores right order and enables those who have been healed to be a part of society once again. He shows love to those who have been excluded, sees value in human life over the strictures of human laws, and identifies the humanity of those who have been deemed less than because of their jobs, their status in society, or their physical or mental wellness. He is able to bind up the strong man because of his power of love and transformation rather than destruction. Jesus' power is not rooted in fear or intimidation, but in hope and love. In this past year, many of us have spent a lot of time inside, especially in our homes. We've also probably gotten a great deal of quality time with our immediate families or maybe our chosen bubble of people. These people are people that we trust. In the midst of a pandemic, there had to be a certain level of understanding about the appropriate behaviors and interactions for each of the members of our immediate households to maintain our health and well-being. We became vigilant about who was and wasn't a close contact, redefining our physical relationship to others by only allowing certain people to share our spaces. Some of us have had time to reconnect with family members in new ways, while others have been physically separated from loved ones for extended periods of time. Perhaps because we've had more time to think about or spend with our immediate households, we've come to recognize the importance of establishing and maintaining strong relationships with others. In this time of forced isolation from the outside world, we've also come to recognize the many ways in which our society is broken. COVID made us acutely aware of economic, racial, and other social inequalities that have been present for the majority of the history of our country, but which we have continually failed to address. In the early days of the pandemic, after our initial shock of having our lives upended, many of us vowed that we would never be able to go back to normal again in light of Black Lives Matter protests, socioeconomic inequality, and growing divisions in our country. Some of us now had more time to really reflect on what was going on in the world around us and to decide how we were going to be more involved, less dismissive, and seek justice and restoration for others. Now, in this new phase of the pandemic, where it is certainly not over, but is at least on the decline in the United States, we are eager and ready to go back into the outside world. As mask restrictions lift and we begin to reunite with our friends, after, of course, we have been fully vaccinated, it might be easy to slip into our old ways of being. The busyness of life might return again, and our care and concern for the greater socioeconomic issues we were faced with during the pandemic may start to fade into the background. We may slip into our own ordinary time where things go back to mostly normal. We may lose sight of the importance of the relationships we share, not only with those in our bubbles, but with the greater world. Certain aspects of the pandemic will leave their marks on us as we move forward. But how will we consider what this past year has meant to us in how we interact with our families of origin, our families of choice, and the surrounding world around us? Jesus, in his ministry and teachings, demonstrates what it means to follow God's will. The Holy Spirit acts on us to create faith within us. And then we continue to strengthen that faith through hearing the word of God and through sharing the sacraments with one another. The Holy Spirit moves in us to bear the good fruit of our faithfulness in service and care for others. It motivates us to seek justice for those who are marginalized, to create wholeness where brokenness haunts many, to acknowledge the humanity of others, and to remember how we are inextricably tied together with them. Our faith is in the one who redeems and makes us whole. And thereby we are called to share the power of Christ through our own words and actions. This is not an ordinary time. These weeks after Pentecost are an extraordinary time to hear the word and works of God through the body of Christ. Let us live into these Sundays after Pentecost with a renewed sense of being siblings of Christ and God's children. Amen.